God calls us not to just have a holy huddle, but God calls us to get out of the stands and onto the playing field and to put our lives on the line for Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't have nice, warm thoughts about us and stay in heaven? What if he said to the Father, Father, I really love those people down there. I think very highly of them. They're in my thoughts and prayers. How many of you know there comes a time where you have to go a little bit further than just your thoughts and prayers? He left heaven, was born in a manger, smelly place where they keep animals, lived among men, saw the horrors of this world. Just like our soldiers who saw the horrors of war. Jesus saw the ultimate horror of what sin, the root of war, somebody say amen, which is the root cause of war in this world is sin, the horror of what sin did to mankind, to his Father's family. But he died to bring us back. Amen. Father, we dedicate this message to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ask you for your help, Lord. I thank you and I agree with our intercessors this morning who are on duty in this room. We agree, Lord, for your peace, for your blessing, for your anointing on this message and for the hearts of the listeners, the ears and hearts of the listeners to be transformed by this word. Starting with me, Lord, because I feel like I'm preaching to myself this morning. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen, amen. And amen. Today I want to talk to you about the power to change the world. How many of you, if you knew there was a way you could have power to change the world, how many of you would want some of that? If I knew there was a certain way, a sure way that I could change this world, I would want to get into that. I want to figure that out. I want to have some of that. But actually, the power to change the world, believe it or not, is in three simple words. Faith-inspired actions. The power to change our world is found in three words. Faith-inspired actions, or actions that are inspired by our faith. In other words, how you live because of your faith, what you do because of your faith, is the power that changes this world. It's when you go beyond just your beliefs and your behavior is different because of your love for Jesus. If your beliefs never change your behavior, then I'm very concerned about your beliefs. James chapter 2, verse 21 to 24, James was so practical as an elder in the church, spoke these powerful words. James chapter 2, verse 21, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions, everybody say his faith and his actions, were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. His faith wasn't made complete by what he thought. His faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not just by faith alone. And the Bible teaches this in a very balanced way. It's not saying that we're saved by our works, because we are saved by faith, but our faith should impact our life to change our behavior. You're never saved by your works. You're not saved because of the good you do. We're saved because God took the initiative to love us and give his life for us. And when you believe in the sacrifice of Christ and you put your trust in what Jesus did for you, not what you can do for you, but you put your trust in what Jesus did for you, that's how you're saved. It's as simple as that. But because you're saved, because Jesus gave his life for you, you want to be different. You want to be like him. You want to have the love that Jesus had. You want to have the obedience to God the Father that Jesus had. You want to be holy and righteous and pure and kind and forgiving like Jesus was. The people of the kingdom of God are people who act on their faith. We've been studying a lot about the kingdom of God, and I guess those of you who have been in the small group, Kingdom Disciples, are just about done, right? How many of you have finished the class? All right, finished the course? All right, there may be one more. But what a wonderful study that has been. And I think you'll understand, and this resonates with all of us this morning, when I say the people of the kingdom of God are people who act on their faith. Jesus was described by his disciples. Jesus is our ultimate example. In Luke 24, he was a man who was mighty in word and deed. Hello? Jesus was a man who was mighty in word and deed. In the book of Acts, it says, these things Jesus began to do and teach. The doing is always part of the teaching. The teaching and the doing go hand in hand. He was mighty in word and deed. Oh, to God that we would be mighty in word and deed. I want to be more mighty in word and in deed. Church, it's not time to shrink back in unbelief. Even though the devil wants to intimidate, the devil wants to put us in a closet. While everybody else is coming out of the closet, the world is trying to push us back into the closet. But it's time for us to stand up for our faith and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I don't ever want to stand before God and hear him say, why were you ashamed of my son? I don't ever want to be ashamed and pray to God. God gives me the guts and the courage if someone to walk in here with a gun and say, I want all of you Christians to line up here, and whoever believes Jesus Christ is Lord, line up, that I would have the guts to stand up and give my life for the faith. Hallelujah. Yeah. It is not time to shrink back in fear. Amen. The state of the church is in the balance right now. The condition of the church is hanging in the balance. Because it's not what the world will do that will change the world. It's what God's people will do that will change the world. It's when the church stands up and is the church that we were meant to be. More than ever, God is looking for us to follow through on the principles and the priorities and the convictions that God has made real to us. God has worked with you for years. Think about this. Years to convince you of certain principles. That light is greater than darkness. Love is greater than hatred. Faith is greater than fear. How long has God worked on you with those things? From day one. And is he still working on you? Still working on me? But what I'm saying is, we've got to take those principles, take those priorities, take those attitudes, and live them out. In our daily words, in our attitudes, in the way we treat people, and the way we forgive, and the way we keep on believing when others have given up. We don't throw in the towel. The Bible says love never fails. In the book of Revelation, the church of Ephesus is told they had many good qualities. But then at the end of the commendation, Jesus says, but I have one thing that's against you. You have left your first love. And another translation says, you don't love me the way you did at first. And I've been feeling convicted of this morning. I don't know about you. Maybe, like I said, I'm just preaching to myself. I feel like God is saying, do you love me the way you did at first? Help me, Lord. Repent. And then he says, do what you did at first. Repent and do what you did at first. Do. Don't just think about it, but do those things. Knock on your neighbor's door. Pick up the telephone. You know, bring a bag of groceries. Whatever needs to be done. Forgive somebody that you need to forgive. Keep praying for that person you want to give up on. Keep a guard on your mouth and watch your words. These challenging times, we need to be people whose faith and action work hand in hand. Faith, what we believe, and what we do must go together. And when they do, and when our faith and then our actions are under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they will change the world. They will change the world. The people that we read about as heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, other places in the Bible, these were people who saw beyond their feelings, their circumstances, and were faithful to a vision and a mission that came from heaven. Listen, I'm going to say this again. The people that you now read about, the inspirational stories in the Bible, people that are heroes of the faith, were people, simple people, who went beyond their feelings, beyond their circumstances. They were ordinary people. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, the Bible says. Elijah was depressed one time and became suicidal. Elijah, the prophet, actually struggled with suicidal thoughts. David failed God, committed adultery, and then covered up the adultery by having a man killed. And yet Jesus Christ is still called the Son of David. Wow. Wow. These people of faith, they understood that even when they failed, they could get back up and get back on mission. Get back on mission. Hallelujah. Paul said, I have not been unfaithful to the heavenly vision. From the day Jesus appeared to me, I have kept the vision from heaven. Hebrews 11 says, by faith Noah, when warned about things yet not seen, the judgment that was coming on the world, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. I ask you this question this morning. Because of what's coming on this world, and we know the world, conditions are getting worse. We know the coming of Christ is drawing close. We know the signs of the times are getting worse and worse. Because of that, what are your faith and your actions doing or prompting you to do? In Noah's case, he built an ark to save his family. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place that God called him to go to, he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. In another instance, when God asked him to offer his son Isaac, he didn't just say, God, you know, that's a really warm and fuzzy thought, but I'm just going to sit right here and let that go right by me. Abraham got up and went, took his son, took the wood, took the fire, had Isaac carry the wood, and went to a place that God showed him called Moriah, Mount Moriah, right? And there, figuratively speaking, he offered his son Isaac. And the Bible says that Abraham, because of his obedience to God, he is now called the man of faith. He is the example of our faith. Because he was righteous because of what he did in obedience to God. His faith went beyond thoughts and it affected his actions. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Amen. Knowing that we're in a very broken and imperfect world, and all that you see around you someday be tested by fire, and will be shaken. The Bible says, turn to your neighbor and say, the kingdoms of this world will be shaken. Shaken. And only that which is of God will remain. Knowing this is going to happen, how should we live now? Are we going to just be, you know, lucky or feel lucky that we made it by the skin of our teeth and like, oh, God, thank you, you saved me at the last minute just before I died. I said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner like the man on the cross. I don't want that. I have life and breath and health and a vision about something that's greater than myself. Hallelujah. I have something that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. I want to live for this faith. I want to make a difference in this world. I want my life to count for God. How about you? I want my faith to change my behavior, and I want my behavior and my faith to change the world. Your presence in your family can make all the difference. The light you shine, the love that you show, your prayers make a difference. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Don't let the devil tell you that your prayers are not counting or that your life doesn't count when you live in faith and obedience to Christ. I ask you a question this morning. What could God do in your life with your faith if you completely yielded it to God? We should be people with different values, different priorities, different goals. Our eyes are looking on an eternal perspective, an eternal prize. I love what Dr. Tony Evans said in this last video. We were at the Hines family, well, some of the Hines family members and Jerry Sandiford this past Friday night. And he was saying that, you know, when they have a football game, you have these guys on the field. I forgot how many it is, 11 men on the field. and they form a huddle. They all get together and they talk about what they're going to do. But the fans are not paying $100 a seat or whatever they're paying to watch them be in a huddle. They're paying to see them win a touchdown or get a touchdown and win the game. And in the same way, I think sometimes the church has been content to be like a holy huddle. Constantly talk. Well, we need better methods of how to develop leadership. You know, how do we do this? How do we do that? That's all well and good. I believe in that. I believe in teaching. I believe in conferences, training. But at some point, we got to get out of the huddle and do some executing. Come on now, somebody say amen in the church. If our light is not shining, what good is it? If our salt is not salty, what good is it? We have different values. We have kingdom values. We have an eternal perspective. I look beyond the current world. You know, like Jesus, the Bible says he looked for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. And Isaiah says, when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. Jesus saw beyond the current circumstances. See, God needs to give us spiritual eyes to see beyond the current situation. When Jesus saw all that his sacrifice would accomplish, it says he will be satisfied. And because of his, this is Isaiah spoke this, and because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. Another version says, he will bring many sons to glory. So here he is. Jesus is facing the shame, the suffering, the torture, the betrayal, the guilt of the world on his pure, sinless body. Facing all of that. And the Bible says, and yet for the joy that was set before him, he looked beyond the cross. Can you look beyond your cross this morning? That God has some good still got to come from your life. I feel this is prophetic right now. Some good that's going to come for your life. Here's what the Lord says. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the God. If you have been raised, we are ascended, raised, and seated with Christ in heavenly places. And Ephesians says that, right? Where are we? Sitting here this morning, but spiritually, we're seated with Christ. And in Matthew, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously, and all these other things will be added to you as well. So the direction of our focus, the direction of our gaze towards God, and then the actions that we take as a result of our vision will change the world. Hallelujah. You have to persevere. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have to persevere. Don't give up. You have to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. There are three things the enemy tries to wear us down. The world system, which is all messed up. It's got its priorities all wrong. Our own flesh, which sometimes, you know, wants to give in, wants to get even, wants to just indulge itself. Let's be honest. Come on. How many of you still fight your flesh? All right. Until we get to heaven, I guess that's going to be the case. And then there's a real enemy out there who doesn't play fair. If you give him a chance, he will kill you. I mean, I need to scare some people sometime. You say, Pastor Dave, you're such an easygoing guy. Every once in a while, I get really scary, which is hard for me because I like being an easygoing person. Don't shrink back. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't backslide. The book of Hebrews says you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one must live by faith. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Hallelujah. When we use our faith and we act on it, it gets God's attention. God notices faith. You know, when in the Bible people were healed, sometimes Jesus would say, your faith has saved you. Or according to your faith, so be it unto you. Faith really gets God's attention. That's why we need to use our faith muscles. Faith is like a muscle that you have to build up. And also, when you respond in faith, I love this, it releases supernatural activity from God. A little bit of obedience and faith on earth. Like, for example, Peter said to the Lord, when Jesus said to him, "Have you caught any fish?" "No, we haven't caught anything." He said, "Well, go out again and cast your net on the right side of the boat." He says to Jesus, he said, "Lord, we have fished all night and caught zero, zip, nada. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will obey." So what did Peter have to do? Even though he was tired, he had fished all night, he was an experienced fisherman, he knew that this was probably ridiculous, he obeyed the Lord, went back out and tried again. And for some of you, that's how close you are to a miracle. Hallelujah. One more act of faith, one more prayer, one more step of obedience, and you will see the net full of fish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A little bit of faith coupled with action releases divine power, releases supernatural activity. Hallelujah. I love this one. This is found in 2 Kings, where the king of Israel and king of Judah, combined with the king of Edom, went to fight against the nation of Moab. Moab had rebelled against Israel. So the king of Israel says to the king of Judah, "Will you join me in fighting against Moab, because they have rebelled against me?" So those guys, along with the king of Edom, go to fight against the kings of Moab. So now they're traveling for several days, and all of a sudden, in the desert, they run out of water. Now, water in the desert is like worth gold. It's like gold in the desert. And so the king of Israel says, "What in the world is going on? Has God led us out here in the desert to kill us?" You could see he was not exactly a mighty man of faith right there. You know, first thing that goes wrong, he's blaming God. None of us have ever done that, right? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. What is this? Has God left us in the desert to die in the desert? And then King Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, says, "Is there not a prophet here that will tell us what the word of the Lord is? We need to seek God." The set of circumstances, I'm not content to die in my circumstances. I want to hear from God. Listen, I'm speaking to somebody here today. Some of you have given up in your circumstance, and God said you threw in the towel too soon. Is there not a prophet here could speak the word of the Lord? Go to a brother. Go to a sister. Find somebody who can pray over you. Find somebody who has some faith and be in agreement with them. Don't die in your circumstance. And so Elisha, the prophet, comes and he says, "If it were not for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look at you." How many of you know prophets back in the day weren't necessarily politically correct? But nevertheless, get me a minstrel to play some music. And as the guy's doing a little bit of praise and worship, the Holy Spirit comes on Elisha and he says, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches right here in the desert. Get your shovels out and start digging holes in the sand." Now, I'm thinking if I'm in that army, and my sergeant tells me, "Okay, everybody, grab your shovel and start making ditches." Why are we doing this? Because God said these ditches will be full of water tomorrow morning. I would be saying, like, this guy has lost his mind. There's been no rain. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's as dry as dust. And you're telling me to dig a hole because we're going to have some water, and these holes are going to be full of water tomorrow morning? That's exactly what God did. He spoke to them. He said, "Make this valley full of ditches. For this is what the Lord says. You will not see wind or rain." It's not even going to come in the natural way. You would think that if there were clouds and it started to rain, okay, let's dig some holes to catch the water. But there was no wind, there was no rain, not even clouds. He says, "There will be neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water. And your cattle and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also hand over the king of Moab to you." And the next morning, about the time of the sacrifice of the offering, there was water flowing from the direction of Edom, and the land was filled with water. Where did the water come from? It came from God. So God says, grab a shovel. Grab a shovel. Dig a hole. Dig a hole the size of what you expect to happen. If you dig a small hole, you get a little bit of water. You dig a big hole, more water. Let me close. Here's the question I want you to leave with this morning. It's a rhetorical question. What does God believe you can do when your faith and actions are completely under His control? What does God believe David can do, whatever your name is, what does God believe that I can do when my faith and actions are under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when they're guided by God, when they're inspired by God, when not just my beliefs, but my behavior is yielded to the Holy Spirit? There are so many people in the Bible that God blessed. And the point you're at right now in your life may be the point of a miracle, but God is looking for faith and action. Like the four men who carried their friend who was crippled to the house where Jesus was. Four men carried this lame guy on a stretcher. And you know the story. They went up on the roof. They tore open the roof. They let him down. And the Bible says these words very specifically. When Jesus saw their faith, whose faith? The crippled man? No, their faith, plural, the four men who carried him. Is it possible that you may not have a lot of faith, but you can still carry somebody to Jesus? Can you still carry somebody to Jesus? I don't have the healing, but I know where you can get a healing. I don't understand all the scriptures and all the theology, but I know where you can find some help. Come to Catalyst, 14500 Landstar Boulevard. Presence of God is there. God, the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is working there. And your questions will be answered. It releases the most powerful force on earth, our release, pound for pound. Faith is a mighty, mighty, strong, powerful substance. Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, if you were to look at a mustard seed, I saw a picture of a mustard seed on the internet. You could barely see it on the tip of your finger. It's a tiny, tiny seed. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. God is looking for our faith. God chooses the foolish things of this world to shame those who think they are wise. He chooses the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Your faith may look so weak, but in God's eyes, it's a mighty weapon. The staff of Moses became the rod of God. God said to Moses, throw your staff down. Now pick it up. What happened? That staff now belonged to God. You use this authority, use this when I tell you to. Staff of Moses, a little shepherd's sling brought down the giant Goliath. Amen. A little boy's lunch, humbly given to Jesus, blessed a multitude of people. Are you starting to see this morning what faith can do? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is touching hearts today. And as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to just say this. In closing, as we approach our breakthrough Thanksgiving offering next week, as Pastor Angela said, this one offering is not the end-all, do-all. In other words, our whole vision for the project is not all hinge on this one offering. Amen? Are you with me, church? I want you to understand that the only thing we're asking you to do is pray to God and say, God, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? Just like the people in the Bible, the men who filled up the six jars with water when Mary, Jesus' mother, said, just whatever he says, do it. Are you with me today? The Bible says, whatever he says, do it. And in response, they filled up the jars with water. So I'm asking you to please pray. Between how many of you, while every head is bowed, every eye closed, how many of you will lift a hand honestly and say, Pastor, I'm not promising what I can give, but I will promise you that I will pray about it. How many of you would do that at least? Say, I promise, I will pray. I will pray about what to do. Whether it's $10 or $10,000, I want to just yield to the Holy Spirit. I want to be an instrument in God's hands. Amen. Are you with me, church? Faith coupled with action is the power to change your world. Peter saw it when he caught those fish. David saw it when Goliath fell. The army of Israel and Judah, when they dug those trenches, they did it in faith. When they were digging, they didn't have the answer yet. Are you with me today? God is saying sometimes your actions will prove your faith. Help us to be doers, Lord. Say with me, help us, Lord, to be doers of the word, not just hearers. Help me, Lord, starting with me, God, Pastor Dave. Help me to be a doer, Lord. I'm tired, Lord, of living beneath the faith level, beneath the love level, beneath the obedience level that I'm supposed to live, Lord. And I want to rise. I want to rise to the occasion. The world is going crazy. Our country is on a precipice right now. So divided. Russia and Turkey have moved into Syria. If you don't think that's prophetic, study the Bible. There's been an alignment of the nations that speak of the end times. In the light of these things, how shall I live? I want to be a person of the kingdom of heaven. I want to have an eye towards heaven. I want to seek those things which are above. I want to live for him who died for me more than ever.